Welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Before we dive into a special thank you to our sponsor, Dr. Bradley Nelson, New York Times bestseller author of The Emotion Code and The Body Code, for his groundbreaking work on helping others release their trapped emotions and unlock their ability to heal. Today, we have an extraordinary guest who has spent her career helping leaders navigate through the toughest challenges of life and business. Can throw them off at times, but she's a leader, coach, and a change strategist and an expert in understanding how the mind, body, and gut work together to guide our decisions. Please welcome Dr. Lucille Maddalena, a woman whose insights on risk, resilience, and decision making are second to none. Dr. Maddalena, it's such a pleasure to have you on our show. Could you say hello and let the listeners learn a little about yourself?
Sure. Thank you for having me here today. You're terrific. Yeah, it's been a long journey for me. I've been doing this for 40 years. And when I graduated college, I have a doctorate in labor education and human communications. The first woman in labor education, by the way.
Yeah.
Rutgers, yeah, good old Rutgers University, terrific university. I created this program called Transition to Leadership. And sold Johnson and Johnson bought it, many other firms, Bristol Myers Squibb, many other firms globally. So for 20 years, I trained leaders in how to transition, how to make that change in their career, to move into top level positions in three languages. So it was all over the world, 6,000 people. So by doing that, I got to meet so many new leaders in different corporations, and that started my career off beautifully. It was a very exciting time for me. Something else happened during that time. I got involved in dog sled racing. I know it's weird because here I am in New Jersey, but there's some trails up in Pennsylvania, and I really like dogs. So we accumulated some dogs, and we found a mentor because one of my clients was president of the International Sled Dog Racing Association. And he thought that I had some skill at my little teams. So he gave me a big team. He gave me an Alaskan Husky team, the same dogs that raced in the Iditarod. He and his family have raced in the Iditarod, won the Iditarod. And here I am in New Jersey and Pennsylvania with a really fantastic dog team. So I got out there on this on the trails, and that opened a whole different side of life. You talk about work at risk, and you talk about work that's physical, and getting out there and understanding what you can do and what you can achieve. I really learned a lot about risk. I understand change a lot differently. Being out there with the animals in a situation where I was in physical danger at times. It's not a safe sport. But I brought those skills back into the office and talking with the people. And as a matter of fact, I wrote a book about it. My book is called Moving On By, Harnessing My Sled Dog Team's Instinct to Win. On By is the dog sled command to get off this nice, safe, hard-packed trail, get into that dangerous, deep snow, and pass that team that's blocking you. Get by that obstacles, get on by it. And I learned that on the trail because I was timid at first, and my team was fast, but I wasn't. I'd slow them down until they got behind another team, and the lead dog just turned her head and looked at me. Oh, let me tell you the story of my first race. Can I do that? This was the first time I'd been out in a competition, and when we took off, it was a beautiful, bright, sunny day, absolutely gorgeous. Snow is bright, and you can't see very far when the snow is too bright. And I didn't have my goggles. So we went under some trees, and the dogs are just so gorgeous. And I'm pumping along. You stand on one runner and you're pumping with the other the whole time. You're working the whole time. And as we got out from under a group of trees, the dog's fur at the back went up. Their tails went up straight. Their ears went up straight. Signs, something's coming up ahead. So the dogs, animals send messages, and you've got to read them. So I read from the dogs, we're up ahead, something's coming up ahead. And finally, I was able to see that I had caught up to the team that left before me, where in time starts. So I had made up my 3-minute start. I was approaching my first team. I was going to pass my first team on my first race. So I'm now working really hard, really hard. My job was to help the dogs move along. You want to keep the weight of the sled off the dogs. So you're constantly working, you're pushing the sled. We're getting closer to the other team. My task now is to call out the command to go on by the other team. Well, as we get closer, remember this is my very first time on a sled on a sled with this type of team in this type of heavy competition. I called out, "May I pass you?" I asked him for permission to beat him.
Ah.
The other driver looks at me. He's up in the hill. I'm down the base. Looks down like, "You idiot!" Oh, what? But at that second, my lead dog, Little Red Bitch, turned her head. We had eye contact for just a second. But during that second, I realized what I did wrong. I was the idiot here. Then she turned back, she dropped her haunches, spread her legs, and took off. And I called out on by, and we passed that other team beautifully. But you know, she is the one who reminded me of that. And I keep that message with me because there are times when, we don't realize we're moving so fast, we don't realize that we're disconnecting from our team. I was me and they were the team. I wasn't the team with together. And when she did that, I connected with the team. We were there. We were all at once. And that happens with people too. I've seen it on the job. I work with a lot of construction leaders. I've seen them work with their team, and all of a sudden they get annoyed or something happens and they're pulled back and they're not connected from the team anymore. And the team sort of flounders. And the leader flounders too. You need to be connected. You need to maintain that rapport, that way of succeeding together. And that taught me a lot, that little lead dog. Anyway, I've learned a lot from being on a sled and a lot from working with corporate people. Because I ran those programs in three different languages around the world, I got a good understanding of what it's like to be in a major corporation, to be able to be successful, to lead a team. You don't stand out, shout at the team. It's like a sled. You get behind and you're part of the team. You have to be committed with them and work with them. And it was a great learning experience for me.
That's amazing. And that's so true. You have to work with the team. Now, in leadership and in life, risk is and that, it's just you always have risk. How do you define risk, and what's the healthiest way to approach it?
I define risk anything that gets your blood boiling, anything that gets your hair, because I'm using dog analogies, anything that gets you tight. You firm up, you get confused and a little bit distracted because you don't know where to go. And that's the key here. There are two things that I've come up with, and I suggest we look for our own trail markers. They're there. What do you look for when you want to make a decision? You do a little self-coaching, perhaps. You go back and think, what did I do in the past that worked? And how can I change that? And how can I apply that now? In my book, I've got a whole section. My book is called Moving On By, Harnessing My Sled Dog's Instincts to Win. The whole appendix is on self-coaching. And if you go on my website, you can download a free little book on self-coaching because we all have to coach ourselves. No one, you can't always count on somebody else. You have to do it for yourself. Self-coaching is so important, and that makes us look at our past, what we're doing now, and what we want to do in the future. So go to my website, MTM, Madelita Transitions Management, MTM Coach, and download the free little booklet on self-coaching. And then get my book and read the full description of self-coaching. Because one of the things that I talk about with self-coaching is finding your own trail markers. And there are many times when I've been in competition that drivers have said to a lead dog, do a ha or a G turn left or right, and the lead dog has disagreed. I've had one where I was up in the mountain, I'm looking down, and there's all the a nice expansive area with a crossroad. And there's a team sitting there. And the driver's standing next to the team, not behind the team. The team's hooked to a tree, so they can't move. And the lead dog's sitting quietly, and all the other dogs are jumping up and down. The driver goes over to the lead dog and points to the left. Goes back to the lead dog, tries to move it. Dog won't move. Goes over left, tries. The dog will not do it. Finally, he gets back in the sled and makes the right. That's the way. If he had made the left, he would have been 10 miles of nowhere.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you have to look for those trail markers. And I've
Yeah.
identified four, and I think you're going to like the four. So we talked about this before. The first one is values, right? Isn't that the first thing you look for? Does this
Yeah.
person or this situation satisfy me, make me feel it's the integrity is there, the composition's there. I trust this. It works with my value system. I'm going to be in a safe area here because this is what I believe in. And then there's the area of another trail marker is one of risk. And how do you deal with risk?
Yeah.
Risk is you need a calculated strategy, a contingency plan. You have to be able to accept risk because what happens when you feel risk? You tighten up, we talked about before, and it's very difficult to make that decision to make change. And you go through that transition process. It's all about moving ahead and having the guts and to do it. And yeah, talking about guts because I do work very much on the brain, heart, gut system.
Yeah.
Oh, science has proven it. The brain is connected to the gut. The brain helps us live, helps us survive. The
Yeah.
gut makes our decisions, and the gut is where we store all our adventures. That's why we read case studies because we can't do everything, but so we can read about what other people did. I have a lot of case studies in my book. You want some good adventures to give you some stuff to make decisions from? Read my book because we need that. We need experiences. We need to be able to tell our own story. And I
Yes.
demand, I require you to read, to make your write your own story when you read this book. Because if you can't write your own story, you're not going to be able to understand other people's story. And we have
Right.
to understand how to take risks because of who we are and how we respond. And we have to listen to our gut.
Yeah.
That's the only way we can make decisions. And then there's two other trail markers. I believe in values and I believe in risk, but I also believe in trusting your gut and instinct.
Yes.
Much instinct, is it not? I know you've done a lot of talk on this and a lot of research on this. One of the reasons I admire you and want to be on your show. Instinct's critical. To
Yeah.
ignore and just make blind decisions, pull things out of a hat. It's silly when you've got all that information in you. Now, if you
Yeah.
trust your gut, you look at what you've learned all those years and use that experience. The self-coaching, I show you how to use your gut by looking at what you did in the past, what you want to do in the future, and what you're doing now. It's very
Yeah.
simple. When we take our time and listen to our instinct, we get ahead. And the last thing I really work on sharing as a trail marker, as something that when we see reminds us where we want to go, is connections.
Yes.
Lose in isolation. You have to be. And I talk a lot about how to make those connections, how to build that rapport with others, how to help yourself grow with someone else, find a
Yeah.
way to work together because you're much stronger, right, in a team than you are by yourself.
Oh,
So
yeah.
that's what I've been doing with my time. It's been an adventure writing this book. Can I tell you another little story about writing?
Sure.
Okay, I will tell you that when I first wrote the book, I sent it to a friend of mine, Chip Bell, who's a magnificent writer. He sent a book back to me, and with one short note, he said, "This book is filled with joy." I called him up. I said, "Chip, I didn't write about joy. There's case studies here. These are some tough case studies. There's
Yeah.
some tales from the trail, some sled dog adventures that are pretty tough. We're talking about the Iditarod. We're talking about Johnson Johnson and the Tylenol issue. We're talking about some really tough stuff here that I experienced, that I worked with those companies at that time." And he said, "No, look, go read your damn book again." What happened was, when I was writing the book, my 2-year-old grandson was diagnosed with brittle bones. I don't know if you're familiar with osteogenesis imperfecta type 1. Over the first his two when he was 2 and 3, he broke 7 bones over those 2 years. It was horrendous. So I'm writing the book at night, worrying about him at night, can't sleep at night because of everything that's going on. And I'm working along. And somehow in the book, not planned, I've added sections on self-care. I've added sections on mindfulness because you can't connect. You can't have values. You can't accept risk. You can't work on your instinct. You can't build connections unless you trust yourself, unless you understand who you are. So that sadness actually brought joy into my book. And I've gotten so many notes back and people saying that was not expected, but thank you, because it helps us bring the full circle. You don't just take a risk for money. You don't get out there to just to ex succeed. You get out there with your heart, with brain, your heart, your gut, the whole picture. So that's what my book's about. It's called Moving On By, and you can order through my website, MTF Coach. I hope you do. I hope you read it and let me know what you think. But tell me if you found joy in it. MTM Coach is where you can get
I
it.
will.
On Amazon.
Sounds like an amazing book. I love it. I love it. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why do so many people resist change, and what are some of the strategies for embracing it rather than fearing it?
Oh, you're absolutely right. People fear change. You know, when you first start a job, have you noticed this? When people start with a new position, they don't talk about themselves. They don't build connections. They're very tight. I want to be the professional, so I know my stuff and I only talk about my stuff and I know this and I know that. But they don't talk about themselves. They don't share their private life. And after they've been on the job about 10 years, and sometimes it can take that long, they start relaxing and they start building rapport. And as they build that rapport, that's when they build the connections. That's when they become leaders. And until they understand, until we all understand that if we're isolated, we're not going to get anywhere. It's when we form that team, when there's more than one brain trying to figure something out, when there's more than one set of instincts looking at something, that we get to the better conclusions. And that's what I talk about over and over, because working with dogs, you see it all the time. It's so obvious, the way they confirm. You can see one dog teach another while they're on the trail. You can see one dog slow down to work better at a pace and move more in sync with the other dog. They're doing all these things, and it's not on a conscious level, it's all instinctual. And I think we have to learn from that, to trust our gut, to trust our instinct, and use that to make our decisions.
I love that. And it's so true. So many people, they base their decisions just on their brain, and they really need to go with their gut. They really need to go with their heart. And those two components will lead you always in the right direction. I'm a pro when it comes to just leading yourself with your gut and your heart. And any time that I didn't lead myself with my gut and my heart, I made the wrong decision. And I regretted it in the end. I really did. I really
Absolutely.
did.
People tell me that all the time. Me too. We all do that. We all get stuck and we, oh, I've got to be a tight professional. I have to use the facts only. It doesn't work that way. We need our values. We need to take that risk. We need to our instincts, and we need to connect with other people. Those four steps have to occur. And that's why I advocate self-coaching. I'm a good coach. You can hire me and I'll help you get where you want to go. But you can coach yourself too. You don't always need somebody there. Just pay attention to that gut. And it's so simple. Look what you did, what you want to do, and what you can do.
100%.
So that's what I've been doing all these years, talking about how to get ahead, how to love yourself a bit, and how to take a risk on the job, how to work through change, because it's a process.
It is a
And
process.
it is a process. There's a times when you have to complain. You can't hold it in. Yeah, you let it out. And there are other times when you want to make someone else succeed. Maybe they're feeling bad and you want to put them in a situation where they can win. So you help each other out. That's what teamwork's about. You're part of a group. You care about success. You care about winning, because that makes us feel good. It gets where we want to go. And we're successful. We're satisfied with ourselves. And isn't it all about satisfying our needs? Isn't that what we're doing every day? Our wants and our needs. I write a column in LinkedIn, newsletter in LinkedIn, called Work-Life Harmony. I don't believe in work-life anything else. There is no one way to do it. You've got to find harmony. And I have a lot of people, a couple thousand people right now following me on that, because we all need that. We all need to find that harmony. We want to work because we want to push ourselves. We want to grow. We want to be interesting and be inspired. And I believe we all have to be inspired and inspiring.
Yes, that's very
Inspire others as well as ourselves.
true.
So we do th different things. We take chances and we get out there, and it's very exciting. I have a one woman that I coached. The president of the company wanted me to coach her because he believed that she could really move into a senior VP position eventually. Her boss offered her the next promotion, next job. She came to me and said, "I can't take this job." I said, "Why not?" She said, "Because I've never done it before, so I may not do it right." She turned down the job because she never did it before. So I took her into coaching. I suggested, said, "Let me coach you. Let's just walk through this." Yeah, and maybe when you begin your life in a job and a career, you need to have experience doing something. As you move up, it's risk. You have to take the risk. You have to push yourself. You have to learn. And how exciting is it to learn? You only become a better person. So I worked with her for 6 months, helping her gain the confidence to take this job. She's now vice president of the company. Had taken that job, she would have been out. And she did it. She knew how to do it. She didn't know the technique. She didn't know the details, but she had the capacity to be able to learn it. And that's what we have to do, to trust ourselves. We have to respect ourselves as we respect others. And
I love
sometimes it takes learning,
it. It is. Sometimes it's just learning. How can someone tell the difference between taking a bold risk and making an unwise decision?
Ooh, isn't that a good one? Yeah. How do you know does it hit you that you made an unwise decision? I think that happens first. Then you realize you made a wrong decision. And sometimes it's painful. Sometimes you lose respect. You lose trust in yourself because you find yourself up against a wall. You find yourself like a wrong t like, When you're on the trail, when in sled dogs, you could take a wrong turn. You can go miles and miles and miles and get lost. And when do you find that? When do you realize that you actually did that? You need a lifeline, you need people, you need others. You cannot be isolated. You trust for me, I trusted my team. I trusted my dogs. They knew when they were in the wrong area. They became disoriented. They started moving their heads around, their tails and bodies. I could see that something wasn't right. So I pulled it together and found the right trail. You could do the same thing with the people around you. You ask them questions. You ask, "How's this going? Is there something I can do better? What do you see could work better here?" You never have the answers. Never assume you have the answers. Always have the questions. You want to control the conversation. You want to grow. Ask questions. Don't give answers. The wise person seeks information, doesn't try to always be the person giving information.
That is so true.
Right? You
That
have
is
to ask questions.
because you find those people that always have to share their opinion. They always have to share their opinion. But really, the people who really grow are the people who are open-minded. And I found, in my own personal life, I always look for advice, and I always look for listen to other people how they did things. And I always made sure I focus on the people that were above me already, because I wanted to learn how they did it. Yeah, I wanted to learn, okay, what worked for them? Is that something that I can incorporate in my own life? What was the things that really, helped them really advance to the level that they're at this point? Instead of just saying, I know it all, or just, giving my opinion to everybody else.
What you're talking about are role models and mentors, right? And a leader is a role model and a mentor. I say that over and over in the book. I wrote this book actually for the people I coach to give to the people who are coming up below them. It's not written for them. It's written to, for people who need to, who are ready to and want to move to that next level, because it's all about how to be a role model and a mentor. As soon as you take that place that you can help others, that you can ask the questions and support your own growth and others' growth by exploring, by challenging, by taking the risk. That's when you're moving up. Otherwise, you get stuck in a void and you spin and you isolate yourself. You
Yeah.
lose. What a shame. What a waste of your time. We have so much to give.
We
Allow
do.
yourself the freedom of taking the risk and exploring what we can accomplish.
Yeah. It's so true. Can you share a time when you helped a client successfully navigate to a big change and made it work for them? I know you mentioned about the woman who became the vice president. Is there another time that you might have helped someone?
I just very recently I was working with someone who owns several emergency rooms. She has three or four emergency rooms, and she have a tendency to be a phenomenal businesswoman, setting up three different businesses, running them beautifully. That takes a lot of intelligence and a lot of guts and a lot of fortitude.
Yeah.
However, when she's in the office, one of her offices, and some of the lower level employees, the people who answer the phone, the people who write out the data, and they get confused, she stops and she does their work for them. She starts helping them, and all of a sudden she's doing some mundane task in her office, unaware of what she's doing until somebody brings it up. Of that habit was difficult because that's what it is. It's a habit. Imagine you have a sandbox, okay? And you take a spoon. Every time you do something, you dig deeper and deeper into that sand. That's where those habits come. And you have to recognize that you're digging deeper and fill that void back up so you break that habit. And it's hard. I always say if you break a habit, you have to do it consciously 6 times. Do what you need to do consciously 6 times, or you're not going to break that habit. Because we repeat it so often. So that's my big story. Watch what you do. Monitor yourself. Allow yourself to make mistakes and then see if it's a habit. See how you could change it. Be in control of yourself.
I like that. That's a great answer. That's a great answer. What mental shifts can people go from feeling overwhelmed to feeling control and during change?
Oh, that's a tough one, isn't it? Because that's a little emotional, and we go through so many phases. We go through denial first. We all say, "Oh no, this doesn't affect us." Then we get to the anger part, and we shout it out, and then we finally get over that hump, and we accept it, but we're sort of depressed about it because we don't really make the change, and then we move up, and we're finally getting ahead. And usually, when we get out of that depression, it's because we've got other people and other interests to inspire us. We become inspired because you want to get to the point where you're competent again. You started out competent, and with all these ups and down curves, you questioned yourself: Am I good at this? Is it me? What am I? What? Why am I so foolish? What am I doing that's messing things up for me? And you have to go through those. We go through those feelings, and maybe that's a way to sort of cleanse ourselves a little bit. To go up and down. Sometimes those emotional highs and lows give us a chance to get rid of a lot of the stuff, the baggage that we carry around, because we realize we don't need that baggage when we finally get to the place where we recognize that we're competent again. And so that's how I usually try to explain it and use it for myself when I get we all get to those areas of time, right?
I've seen myself, get fall into where you self-doubt yourself or you question yourself in certain areas, and you're capable and you know that you're doing it at this moment. But sometimes for some reason we fall in doubt, and we tend to like question our actions and question our behaviors, for whatever reason. It's true.
I think we do. And I think that's why I got involved in coaching, because I was training people in skills. And it gets to the point where they know the skills, but then they sort of get caught up in the emotions and the relationships, and they need a different perspective. And that's right, again, why I wrote the book for my people I coach to give to the people below them, because sometimes it's hard to relate to the people below you and give them examples, help them along. And whether it's a spouse or a relative or somebody in the workforce, we all want to help. When we see somebody floundering, we want to help them. We want to give them a lifesaver. So I thought this would be a good way to give them something to work on, that's positive, because there's a lot of good stories in there too. And this way it builds up their stories and make them write their own story. Have you written your own story? Have you written it down? Have
Me
you?
personally? Yes, I have.
Good. How many times have you done that? More than one?
Several.
Good for you. You're a success. I hope everybody does that. I make them do it in this book, and I'm hoping they've done it several times because we have to see ourselves in writing. We have to put it down, and we have to put it in order, and we have to evaluate ourselves and just see how exciting we are. Where have we been? We've been in so many different places, and we take them for granted, and we shouldn't. We should appreciate ourselves, right?
Oh, 100%.
Right? You've got to get that motivation. You've got to remind yourself that you're brilliant, that you've got things to offer, that you can share, that you build good relationships, that you can be connected to others and be trusted and respected. And that starts with understanding who we are and writing our own story. I do one where I make people write about their family that I am from. They have to write about their aunt, the grandfather, their father, the mother, their relationships, and how each of those impacted them. And usually, by the time they're reading that out loud, they're in tears. They're so satisfied with themselves, and they're so happy that it evokes emotions. That it evokes, and it recalls things that they have forgotten because we're so busy. We just forget what made us who we are today. So that's a very important task that I put everyone I coach through.
That is so true, and it's so important to do that. And the story keeps changing as we start we as we as we get older, and each year the story changes, and it is important to rewrite it consistently, because we tend to forget, and we tend to not give ourselves credit for where we were and where we're now, until we start looking at, okay, in my 20s I was this, in my 30s I was this, in my 40s I was this, and then you go on and on and on, and then you start to think, you know what? I have done a lot. I have accomplished a lot, but we give ourselves credit sometimes. But once we look at where we were and we look at the present tense, then we realize, hey, I have made quite a few accomplishments in my life, and I should give myself a pat on the back for sure.
Absolutely. And that's the point where we want to gain more. That's the point where we say, let's harness this stuff and let's get out there and use it. Let's have some fun with it. We've gained all this knowledge. What are we going to do? Just sit on. Let's do something with it. And
100%.
take that risk and make that change, and how exciting life can be, right?
Oh yeah, there's always something to be learned. There's always something to be done. And it's great when we can take what we learn and we can apply it to other people's lives and make other people's lives better. So it's, I think it's a wonderful thing to keep obtaining knowledge for the good use of yourself and for the use of others as well. Definitely. Definitely. Now, there's a question I wanted to ask you. When we often hear trust your gut, what does that science say about how our brain and our gut work together in decision making?
Well, again, I really believe there's a relationship, and I know the studies out there, and I love every new study that comes out. It talks about how the brain does relate chemically to the gut. I mean, it's true; it does respond, and those gut reactions I define as our adventures. Those are our history. Those are our stories. That's how we understand life. That's what comes out in our gut. We call it instinct. It's instinct. Has a sort of a bad interpretation in some ways. Think about the actual meaning behind it. We're talking about our gut, and we're talking about how it flows back through our heart, and that comes out as our story, as our interpretation of life. And we have to pay attention to that. We can't minimize it. Sure, we don't have it written down in a book somewhere. We have a reaction. Where did that reaction come from? It came from years of growing up. It came from absorbing situations. It comes from observing others. It comes from reading. It comes from writing. It comes from everything we've done. The sadness and the wonders that we've experienced are all combined. That's where they are. That's our wisdom. Let's use
It
that. We are wise. We have wisdom, and it comes from our gut. Our brain keeps us alive. Thank God. Right? It's a wonderful system it is. And we're able to achieve so much because of the connection. So where's that wisdom? How do we call upon that wisdom? And I never use that word. Sally Helgeson, who is one of my favorite writers, I don't know if you, oh, she's just superb. And she said, she looked at my work and said, "This is your wisdom." And I'd never used that word. And I, me, wise? I never use that word for myself. I don't use it for anyone else either. Well, maybe a few people. Peter Drucker, he was wise. But me, you know. But it's true. We all have our wisdom, and that's where it resides, in our gut. It's our instinct. That's what we're calling upon. That wisdom is what we've learned, what we've accumulated, and we've molded it, and we've beaten it up, and we pulled it together, and we stretched it and compacted it, and it's there for us to call upon. And what we do need to do is simply, I use a lot of breathing exercises when I coach. I've had executives lay on the floor in their offices and do breathing exercises because it gets so tense. But it's critical. And on that in breath, you take the breath in, you hold it a moment, let yourself go blank. On the out breath, you relax a bit. On the out breath, before you take that in breath, what am I thinking? Ah, yes. And on the in breath, allow yourself to relate to your own body. Allow yourself to relate to those thoughts. Those experiences and then flow through certain things. Those trail markers are going to hit. Now recognize them. There's a marker here. There's for some reason this stands out. Why? Why is that so important to me? Explore it. Now you have those trail markers. Explore those trail markers. Don't ignore them. You'll get stuck 10 miles away from everything. Use those trail markers. Use that instinct to understand why that attracts your interest. Why are you pulled in this direction? Go deeper into it.
I love that. Yes, that's so true. It's so true. Now, what should people do when their instincts and their rational thinking don't align?
Well, first of all, I would stop. I would breathe. I would definitely, and I put people through a little breathing session, just getting in the air, calm your brain down. Too much is happening. And then we use self-coaching. What happened to the past that's like today? Coaching, and I said, you can go on my website, take the book free, download it, learn to self-coach, learn how to appreciate what happened in the past. How is that relevant to today? What are you going to do about it today that's going to make tomorrow work? You have to see this, yourself in line. You have to see yourself as part of a historical being. You have to see your contribution. It's not just cut and dry in 1 hour, 1 minute. There's a whole life here. You can't take only a piece of it. And if you do that, you're cutting yourself short, isolating yourself, and you isolate yourself, you lose. We talked about that before. We don't want to stay isolated. We want to stay connected with ourselves as well as with other people. So we have to see the full breadth of our experience.
100%. Yeah, definitely. Now, can we strengthen the brain-gut connection to make better, faster decisions?
I believe we can. I believe it has to. Through breathing, through allowing ourselves the moment, that blank space in our minds, we're just taking air when we're animals and we're just surviving, and the brain is opening up, and the brain is relaxing, and the lungs are opening and relaxing, and every muscle in our body is opening and then relaxing. I believe that that's when we can take in new ideas. I believe that's when we expand, that we can reach for something we've never reached for before, and experience and inspire and find what we want, find what we need rather than what we want, right? And share that with others and continue to grow. We have so many possibilities.
Oh yeah, definitely. Really.
We're blessed to have all that human nature or whatever has provided for us. It's phenomenal.
It's true. How can someone rebuild their confidence after taking a risk that didn't work out?
They have to do something. They have to take action. Do not ponder it. Do not find something that you like. Find something that's important to you. Look into your heart. What do I need? What am I searching for now? Figure out something that is important to you and seek it. Learn from others. Talk to people. Do not become isolated. Last worst thing you can do is turn inward. Talk to others. Find those people who will listen. Find those people who are wise enough to listen and allow them to help you explore yourself and your own history. I also suggest writing. I'd have them write a story about it. Write about that sad adventure. Write about what went wrong. Where did it go wrong? And what are you going to learn from it? I advocate writing immensely. Writing and breathing are the two biggest techniques you can give yourself because you're giving them to yourself and nobody else. No one else can do that writing. No one else can do that breathing. That's very, very personal. And I do not recommend you show that writing to anyone else. That's for you. Just as breathing is for you. We need to self-care. That's why self-coaching is so critical, and it's personal, right? It's caring for ourselves. Self-care, we need to do it. We forget about ourselves, don't we? Take care, moms particularly. Every mom in the world is overworked and stretched. Dads too. You have a job and you have young kids. It's hard. And there are different times during life. Someone's ill. That we give, 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 and we need to take. We need to hold back, and we need to breathe and appreciate what we have.
I found so many people feel shameful to put themselves above others, but they don't realize that you can't help others unless you help yourself first. But they feel a sense of shame. They're doing something wrong. They're doing something bad, and because they're putting themselves first above their family or other things that are in their life, they feel that, they need to put themselves on the sideline. Meanwhile, you see a lot of people, they look worn out. You can just look at them and you can just see that they're burnt out, that they because they just don't put themselves first.
You're right, absolutely right. Well spoken. We have to remind ourselves that we can't take care of others until we take care of ourselves. And it's the way we take care of ourselves that influences how we take care of others, the investment we're going to make, and the choices we make. So we experiment on ourselves a little bit, and that's fine. And we'll find the right track as long as we keep doing it, as long as we keep the focus on our heart and on what we need to accomplish.
Yes, definitely. Now, what are three daily habits that can list that listeners can change to help their uncertainty and to be productive more efficiently?
I get this question quite often from leaders who have to go into big rooms of other people and make connections and form all these bonds and then maybe sell their product or at least introduce themselves. It's the same basic thing, is it not? What you're doing is putting yourself out there. And the first thing I recommend is first look around you and find the stars. Find the things that twinkle a bit that interest you and pursue those twinkles, pursue that light. Go there and see why it attracts you. Question it a little bit, challenge it a little bit. Why is this attracting you? Secondly, when you begin to talk to somebody or enter a situation that you're not familiar with, breathe first and say, how is this relevant to me? What did I do in the past that made this of interest? Go back a little bit. And then I'm following the self-coaching process, and the third step is look for the future. What has any of this to do with where I'm going? How can I bring this with me? Where will it fill in those little gaps to make my life and my next step even more successful?
I love that. That's so true. We live in the present, but we really, need to focus too on our goals. What are our short-term goals? What are our long-term goals? Where do I want to see myself in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now? What is meaningful to me? What will bring me joy? What will bring me happiness? Because a lot of times too, I see people also they work, they live to work, but they don't really enjoy life. And life is, to me, it's a great feeling to be successful, and that feeling of accomplishment is great. But if you don't have joy and happiness in your life, then
Well said, absolutely well said. That's why I write about work-life harmony. That's why the newsletter is so popular because people want to do that. We're realizing our life is so short, right? So let's find that joy in it. And joy has become since, and I'll admit that since my grandson was diagnosed with this disease, I use that word more often. Before, I was sort of embarrassed to say I seek joy because I have to be tough. I have to be the educated, the doctor. I have to be the one with the answers. Seeking joy, that seems weak. That's really much harder and much more essential. So he has given me the freedom to use the word joy with pride. And so, there's always a blessing, isn't there? There's always a blessing, no matter how difficult it is, you come out with something that you can carry forward.
I definitely think in my life I've been through many obstacles, but during those times we are stressed and we are like, why me? Why this have to happen? But then at the end, I wouldn't be the person I am today if those obstacles did not occur. So then in the same token, I'm kind of grateful that some of those things actually did happen because they molded me to become the person I am today. So I really do think everything happens for a reason. And we may not understand the reasoning at the time it's happening, but I think it makes you see life through a different pair of eyes when you go through different things in life. And you do gain resilience, you do gain wisdom, you do gain, that knowledge, and you do appreciate life with more love and gratitude in your heart when you go through things, and you really start to see how the little things in life are so meaningful. Because I think sometimes we get so caught up in this materialistic world that we've been blessed with and also cursed with in the United States, is that people have so much, a lot of people, that they forget that it's really the little, and then even people that get that are that aren't, they're mad because I don't have this and I don't have that, and why does that person have the big house and I have the small house? But you know what, when it comes, to me, it's not about the materialistic things. It's about really what we're given in life, those little small things, being able to feel the grass when you're barefoot, being able to get up in the morning and being able to breathe, and all these little things. Because once little things are taken away from you, you realize how precious those little things are.
Oh, that's so well said. Absolutely. That's why I love coaching, because somebody's a little stuck. They just become a little stuck, or they're anticipating something and they don't know what to anticipate, and they just need that little support. And I'm able to give them that support to get there, and then I can watch them bloom and then blossom and grow. And it's so exciting. It's just so exciting to watch them take a new task, a new business, a new department, whatever it is, and bring that joy to the people they're working with so that their teams aren't just falling into teams and structuring, being structured and walking in line. The teams are merging, the teams are exciting each other, and they're laughing on the job because they know they're going to screw up. Absolutely no. We put that up front. Yeah, you're going to make mistakes. Learn from the mistakes. That's part of life. And we celebrate the mistakes. Just any way to find joy in what we're doing and to keep it growing and share that commitment to being kind, to being successful, to being all we want to be, right? And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Yeah, it's very personal, and we got to go on by those obstacles and get where we're going to go. We can win.
Exactly. You definitely
Have
can
the
win.
instinct to win. Let's use it, right?
Yes, 100%. Now, if you had to take today's conversation, you want to emphasize on a couple important factors. What are some things you'd like to, let the listeners today realize when, as they end this podcast?
Well, I hope they go to my website, mtmcoach.com, because they're all of it, everything. I took a lot of time to write that. Now, so what I put in there is about the trail markers. I want you to be able to find those things that inspire you. I want you to take that risk and get on that trail, even though you don't know where you're going to get. Get lost. Go get lost, because you find so many things when you do find a way home, and you will find a way home. Trust yourself. So go get lost and trust yourself to get on your way home. So read case studies, explore and challenge yourself. Find the joy in your life. There is joy, no matter how sad you are. There is joy hidden there somewhere. You may have to uncover it. You may have to push things aside. You may have to form new habits. It's worth it. It's worth investing yourself. Get a coach if you can't do it yourself. Find the way to get to where you want to go, because that's your joy. That's your inspiration. That's why your heart's beating.
Yeah, very true. Now, can you tell everybody about the services that you provide?
Well, I do a lot of speaking, a lot of public speaking, a lot for nonprofit organizations as well as businesses, particularly those leaders who are in the process of changing direction for the company or bringing in new teams and merging teams. I do a lot of that workshops of that way. The programs I did the first 20 years on transitioning, much of that's applicable today. Sometimes I'll offer one of those programs. I like working with groups, but I also like coaching. I like working with one person. I do a lot of international coaching of teams, which is really fun because they'll be from four or five different countries, four or five different people. And coaching four or five different people is exciting. It is challenging. And they learn from each other. So that's something new I've taken on. The best though is the one-on-one coaching. It's still the most committed. Because I really, I get so many Christmas cards. I love them. They do. And it's really nice to hear from them and hear how well they've done. And they've succeeded. I go into New York and it's phenomenal, what they've achieved in their lives and the teams they've brought up. They're role models and mentors. The people I've coached have accepted the fact that they're role models and mentors. They don't do the scut work anymore. Their job build their teams, build their legacy. You have to build your legacy. You want to get somewhere? What are you doing it for? You're building a legacy, something to look back on, something to be proud of, and all those people are going to grow because of you. Isn't that
Yeah.
phenomenal? Well, that's a success.
It is. That is a true success.
I
Now
think
tell her, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that's what the joy I get in my work, watching
Yeah.
that.
You're helping people, grow to a new level. You're helping people see and do things that they couldn't do before. It's a wonderful feeling when you can actually help somebody and even overcome some of their insecurities and their self-doubt. And you're building that person to a stronger individual and they're gaining knowledge and wisdom through you, and they're able to attain their goals because of you.
Love it. Oh, so fortunate to be in this position.
Yeah, it's a great feeling when you can help other people for sure. Now, where can people find you? Can you repeat your website just to make sure they know?
Sure. MTM Coach. My name is Madalena Transitions Management. So it's MTM Coach. It's on the website. And my book is purchased through there or through Amazon. And that is Moving On By. If you remember nothing from this, remember On By. That's the command. Get onto that tough trail and pass that team in front of you or whatever's blocking you. Get on by. Keep going.
I love
So look at my website. There's a lot of good stuff on there. I've spent a lot of time writing it and I gotta share the information. So it's MTM, Mary Tyler Moore, MTM, for all these who used to watch that show, Madalena Transitions Management.
I love it.
MTM Coach. MTM Coach.
I
Okay.
love it.
And send me a note. Let me know what you think of the website. Let me know what you think of the book. I love hearing from people.
I love it. I will definitely, you'll hear from me, and I'll make sure you hear from a whole lot of other people too. Thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been phenomenal, and I just think you're a wonderful individual, and I think your knowledge is just amazing. And I love how you relate it to the dogs and your experience with dogs, and it's just we sometimes we don't really, if we just look at things from a different perspective, we can gain so much, from that, because we could be going through something, but if we just look at it in a different perspective and we just, take those little risks, and we're able to learn how, and we're learning, and just do things a little bit differently, we can, change our course and excel so quickly just by a few different tweaks in our life, just a few different tweaks.
Absolutely. Well said. It's a
Well, thank
pleasure. I
you.
really enjoy you.
Oh, it's a pleasure too. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really had a great time, and I thank you so much.
All right.
You have a great day.
Take care.
Bye.